Well, hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Bow, a parenting podcast focused on the discipleship aspect of it. My name is Matthew Wilbanks and I'm here with my good friend Tim Rose. Tim, how about them Rangers?
Dude, I was about to bring it up. I hadn't talked about it pre-show. So, I will tell you, Matt, and you know that I'm a huge Rangers fan. Always been a Rangers fan.
Yep.
I have held this team at arm's distance because I just knew that they were going to disappoint me, and I knew that I was going to get upset, and I was like, I cannot be emotionally invested in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all gone. It's one of those that, like, anytime I watch them, you know, I'm happy to see them succeed. All that. So I just, like, I mentally said, okay, no, stay away. They're gonna die off in the playoffs, and you're gonna get really upset, and you don't want to go through that. You don't need to go through that. You know, you're a grown man. By the way, Matt, I am currently in one of my four Rangers jerseys. I will be teaching in it tonight. just in celebration. I may or may not have bought the City Connect jersey last night.
Oh my gosh.
Celebration. Yeah, no control. but those City Connects are beautiful, by the way. but anyway, last night, Mary and the boys just got back into town yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mary and I were sitting there kind of just, you know, as married people do when they're not around each other for a few days. Okay, let's reconnect. Let's, you know, talk about all that went on, whatever. And, like, literally, we get to the bottom of the eighth inning. And when I see them sub in Jose Leclerc, I'm, like, watching out of the, kind of the corner of my eye. And I go, oh, sweet goodness. And she said, what? And I was like, this is – Jose Leclerc always gives you a heart attack when he pitches. And she just looks at me and says, this team can hurt you emotionally now. And I was like – yeah, you're right. They can. I'm too invested. She's like, then just enjoy it. Like, if you're gonna cheer for a team that you don't know if they really can win the World Series, at least enjoy the ride. And that's what I did. Thoroughly enjoyed the ride. So I'm excited for it. And I hate the Astros. So just that simple. But yes, it is a good time to be a Rangers fan.
Yep. I had a good week.
Yeah, I was about to say, how was your week?
It was pretty good. But we're not here to talk about baseball. We're not even here to talk about our own good weeks. We're here to talk about something a little different. We're going to talk about world events, everyone's favorite, and how it pertains to us.
Yeah.
Though we are removed halfway across the world for Tim and I living in Texas, There's a lot that that we can see here that does affect us because we're riding on some themes that are becoming more and more common, surprisingly, as time goes on. We're no longer in this time period of, you know, peace for everyone. Tensions are running high all over the place. Yeah. Granted, in the Middle East, where we'll be focusing, tensions have always been high. It has never been peaceful over there. But now that things are more televised, especially through the internet, through posting on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, you name it, things are becoming very evident that it's bad. And what does this mean for parents today, at any place, especially for Christian parents? And that's kind of what we're going to talk about. Now, we do have a quick disclaimer.
Yep.
There are going to be some things we talk about in this episode that are not going to be kid friendly, and it's just because of the source material. We are going to be discussing what is currently happening, what has been going on, and it is going to involve some not so kid friendly things. So just as a warning, though this podcast is for families, this episode is going to be for the parents to listen to and then transmit to your kids what we're talking about. So that's just a quick warning that if you're listening with kids, you might want to wait to listen to this later.
Yeah, and it is our goal to obviously we're not trying to be people that your kids can't listen to. That's not ever our goal. Right. Our goal is actually the exact opposite. Normally. But yeah, as Matt said, the nature of what has happened means that even talking about it in the very most basic terms probably do not lend good conversations immediately to little ears. Mm-hmm. And we trust you as parents to know where your kid's at, what they do and don't understand, and therefore what can be communicated. But so what we're talking about is we're talking about what's going on right now in a tiny, tiny, tiny part of the country, mm-hmm. Of the world, excuse me, and part of its own country, but in what we call the Gaza Strip.
Yep.
So I'm just going to lay out the simple events pretty quickly here, because I think if you watch any version of news, you're pretty well aware. But I believe it was last Friday night into Saturday. Actually, I know it was last Friday night into Saturday because it went into a Jewish holiday in which they don't use their phones or anything like that. So they already don't use them on Sabbath. They already don't use, you know, most forms of electronics on the Sabbath. This was evidently a special Sabbath. Forgive me. I'm not Jewish, a practicing Jew to know the exact terms, but basically they didn't have their phones. And while that started happening and while they were on a holiday, a group from the middle of the Gaza Strip, which is on the southwest side of the country of Israel, a group called Hamas, who is a terrorist group. There is no other word to say for them. They are terrorists. They broke through a wall which stood in between themselves and Israel and proceeded to kill over 1,000 Israelis in basically a few hours. These people, the individuals that were killed, are civilians. We're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about two armies going after each other. We're talking about people walking into a music festival and shooting everyone in the music festival. Mm-hmm. Men standing in the middle of the road outside of the music festival so that every car that drove up, they just shot the people in the car while they were driving. We're talking about men going around from settlement to settlement and killing everyone in the settlement, or, you know, putting fire to one of the buildings to get people to come outside so that then they can shoot everyone in the building.
Mm-hmm.
It has been said, and I think accurately so. I wouldn't have anything to obviously argue with, but this is the greatest display of the killing of Jews since the Holocaust.
Hmm.
It is. It's an act of terror. This is not religion against the highly religious. Most of the Jews that are killed are not, you know, deeply, deeply religious Jews, many just secular Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But it has then, of course, sparked much controversy. The Israeli government, of course, now is fighting back, as I think would be expected. And of course, then it leads to, in our country, people who get paid, I think, far too much to poorly govern, saying their opinions, which, you know, are probably less than needed. But sorry, that was just my general. I'm not a big fan of politicians. What to me, I think, has been the most impactful and why I suggested to Matt, hey, let's talk about this. Because Matt, you and I generally, we don't talk about, you know, big political things. I don't think either of us would consider ourselves a radical in any sense of fervor about politics.
Except that, you know, the Bible needs to be implemented in every person's life. But outside of that, not really.
Yes. What struck me about this, and again, parents, I'm letting you know, this is what I'm about to say is part of the disclaimer, part of why there was there. What struck me about this is Hamas has chosen, in order to try and break the spirit of the Jewish people, they have chosen to resort to the decapitation of 40 babies as they took hostages. They took women and literally raped them to death. And they've chosen to go on social media with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can go on social media, then the Jewish people will lose any fervor and will be extremely disheartened. And boy, oh boy, that is, there's no other way to put it than to say that's evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this really lends us to one of our first points of discussion. I'm going to repeat something that actually heard when listening to this from Ben Shapiro, but he made the statement, and I think this is significant for us as American parents. He said that we in the United States, we like to think that the people on the other side of us politically are evil. They're not. They just disagree with us.
Mm-hmm.
What we see here is actually evil. And as much as we may want to be passionate about our politics, I think he's actually completely right. This is what evil is. And so it lends us to ask a question. What do we do when it comes to this kind of evil and talking to our kids about it? But I think we first have to answer one other question, which is, why do we support Israel?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to answer that question first, then we'll ask, then answer the question of evil. And the simple answer, of course, as we know, I think as believers, is that the Jews are God's chosen people. This is Old Testament. He chooses them. If you look at the history of the earth, there is one group that is continually persecuted, and it is the Jewish people. They are always, it seems, every generation seems to get persecuted one way or the other, but they still sustain, and that's in part because they're God's chosen people. Mm-hmm. And we as people who are Christians, or as it would be said in this context, people of the book, we side with Israel because, well, frankly, we side with God. And I think one of the big things that that I see in talking to my students, man, our students don't have a clue about that, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Our students are like, so what? They're in Israel. Why? Mm-hmm. Why do we care so much? And ultimately, we care because, like, God cares.
Right.
You know, it's the classic, if you love someone, you end up loving who they love as well.
Mm.
And I think we would do well as parents to be teaching, hey, this is why we care. You know, there are other reasons, of course, too. I'm not unaware of those. We obviously do want peace in the Middle East. But, like, the number one reason we care is because God cares. But, Matt, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the biggest issue is realizing that both Christians and Jewish people, we have a part in God's plan. And his plan, yep, is to redeem the world through us.
Yep.
And what we have to remember is that God, you can look at Romans 9 or Romans 10, where Paul blatantly says God is not finished with the Jewish people yet. And that was written thousands of years ago. And I think it's still true because it was written down for preservation for us to be reading today, that God is still not done with the Jewish people. And neither is he done with us. God doesn't save us just to give us good fire insurance, so to say, to keep us out of hell. He saves us so that we can be continually sanctified in his word. And what really comes to mind and hearing things like this is a stark reminder that though there is evil in small ways that we see in injustice and, yep, other things like that in our country, there is also evil in giant, huge ways.
Yeah.
And we cannot neglect either one. We cannot show, well, this is the current evil we have to deal with. Evil is evil. How do we stop evil? We spread the gospel. How do we bring in the end of the world according to Revelation 1? If you remember back to that episode, if you listen to it, we spread the gospel. How is this world going to finally stop having evil? It's if every heart is turned towards the Lord. Is that going to happen? It's not. Should it still be our goal? Absolutely. Why? God said so. Preach the word in season and out of season. Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even till the end of the age. It is our command to go and preach the gospel to everybody, which means we also have to look at those and on the Palestinian side and say they are in desperate need of the gospel. In the same way, we look at the Jewish people today and say they are desperately in need of the gospel.
Yeah.
We can't neglect either person. In the same way you have the Russian and Ukraine, how that conflict is still going on, we don't, as Christians, we don't need to be choosing a side. We need to be praying, Lord, save the souls of those affected. Save the souls of those in Russia and Ukraine. Save the souls of those in Israel and in the rest of Palestine.
Yep.
Our job as believers is to pray for the salvation of the world and work to see that happen. Because according to James 3, faith without works is dead.
Yep.
What are we doing now? We are praying for them. We are praying for peace to come to the Middle East. We are praying for peace to come to Eastern Europe. We are praying for peace to come all on the world. And how is that going to happen? Jesus stands up from his throne at the right hand of God and returns. But until he comes back, what are you doing now? And we need to be praying for peace.
Yeah, and I think it's significant to say here as well, as a believer, you don't get to have a political viewpoint and a biblical viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You get to hold one position, and that's what the Bible says.
Right.
Now, might you have opinions, might you have whatever, but your position is what the Bible clearly says, shows, and teaches.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not only foolish, but it is hurtful to our own cause to try and say something like, well, this is what the Bible says, this is what I think, but I also think blank. No, just leave it at the original position. And the original position is, hey, the Bible clearly shows that all are in need of the gospel. And if this shows us anything, it's that is still correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that peace that surpasses all understanding only comes through Christ. There's your political statement, if you will. Everything else is just minor matters of opinion.
Yep.
But what we actually think is like, hey, we need peace. But then I think we're left with another question, which is the question of, man, what do we do with the evil that we see?
Mm-hmm.
Let me start with the number one thing. And this is, I will tell you, as I say this, I'm saying this on an age-graded scale. Please understand that. I'm not suggesting if you have a three-year-old, this is what you do. But number one, you cannot leave your kids' heads in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
This is the constant Christian understanding is, oh, there's really bad things going on in the world. Here's what I'll do. Make sure my kids know nothing about it. Because we find it as a way to protect them. Let me just say, like, right now, currently speaking, it does not appear as though you're in any danger. And although, yes, as we've said in our disclaimer, in the other times we said it, we don't expect you to talk to young ones about all of these things. But if you have kids, is this something worthy of talking about? Yes. Why? Because you're going to talk to them when you go to pray for Israel. You're going to say, hey, can we talk for a minute about what's going on and why we pray for them? But then we also need to deal with the question, is this evil ever okay?
Mm.
Is this evil actually ever okay? I again, trying not to dive too much into, you know, just political standpoints, but there have been justifications given by various people in various locations to effectively justify this behavior. And I will say, regardless of your political view, because Matt, you and I both know people who believe many of the same things about the Bible that we do, but yet stand on another side of us politically.
Correct.
But I will say this very, very clearly. Anything which involves the murder of babies, the murder of people and the absolute dishonoring of men's, women's, and children's bodies for the profit of fear and the profit of their own pride, which is really the basis of all this, is in no way, shape, or form just ever.
Correct.
And if this was a group of Christians doing this, I would denounce them even louder. There is no just, and we have to make sure our kids know this. Hey, let's make something clear. Regardless of how mad you are at somebody, regardless of how mad as a country we may be at somebody. Let's say, I don't know, Canada tries to take over with a northern state that I like, Montana. No matter how mad we are as a country, there is never an appropriate time to be doing these sorts of things to people. Especially not innocent civilians. People who were living their normal life, doing nothing wrong. And this is significant because, let me just say, in the society we live in, Matt, you and I have both played video games that have you know, dehumanized killing before. This is a Call of Duty, these things. That's what, unfortunately, it's what they do. And what we see in this horrific set of events in Israel is the dehumanization again of the Jewish people. We have to be mindful as parents that our kids understand the value of life. And that means that we talk about it when others don't. But Matt, what are your thoughts on this? And then we'll get to our third question.
Yeah, really quickly, what I want to do is I want to just kind of address something that might be a point of conversation that either comes up in your mind or someone else's mind, is that, well, what about the Old Testament? God was a very bloody God in the Old Testament.
Yep.
The issue isn't whether or not that God is different than the current God we worship. The issue is, what was the purpose? What was the reason? The reason was there were very evil people in the land that God had promised the Israelites. And God said, hey, if you are going to obey me perfectly and you are going to do all these things to show me your love and that you trust me, I need you to drive out these evil people. And the issue then becomes, once that conquest ended, you'd never see, apart from when the kingdom of Israel becomes established, God saying, go to this people and kill them all. You do not see that, because God is always a specific people for a specific reason. This is not that. What we see happening overseas is a ethnic hatred, a disgust over just a simple existence, to where there is no basic reason to do this. There has not been a moment of clarity for everyone to be on the same page, because this is a terrorist group. This does not represent the whole of the Palestinian people, because believe it or not, Palestine is not a war zone. The Middle East is not a war zone. It is relatively peaceful. And that's coming from a guy whose father went to Iraq 3 times. Like, it is in specific locations at certain times, but it is not everywhere. You can do your research. I mean, for goodness sakes, the World Cup was held in Qatar, and it wasn't a war zone. What we see here are people who are acting out of their own sin, attacking the Israelites. We don't see anything else. And so you cannot use the example of the Old Testament. Well, what about this? Because those are two separate events. The Canaanites had the opportunity to turn away from their sin, and they didn't. And so what happened? Destruction. In the same way, the Israelites had the opportunity to turn away from their sin, and they rejected the God who delivered them and led them in battle. And so what did God do? He destroyed them. He led the he let other nations come in and destroy them because of their sin. And in the same way we see in the book of Psalms and in other places and Lamentations, you have people that are crying out to God, why would you allow this to happen? And then people remember, but God, since you are good, there is a reason you are doing this. There is a reason you're allowing this to happen. And we have to remember that senseless violence may be a reason that God uses to punishment, but it is not the reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to remember that moving forward, that just because it happens in one instance doesn't mean it happens in every instance. The attack from the Hamas people on the Israelites people may be the judgment of God, but that is also not the case because we can't know. We're not God. And so the people that are making that claim, they're wrong because they don't know God's intention. We know what his intention was in the past because he told us in the present. But we can understand what God is doing now in the present because he hasn't told us yet. What we have to do then is we have to say, this is what's happening. What am I supposed to do? Matthew 5, starting in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. What does this mean for us now? We have to show love. We have to be praying for our enemies. We have to be praying for our friends. But we have to do things that separate us out from this world. And that means doing something this world is not currently doing. And that is turning to the Lord and saying, God, save us in these moments. And if you want to know how to put those words into from your heart and put them out for God to hear, just read through the book of Psalms. You will find something that resonates with you.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, lastly, and this would be true of any real, you know, catastrophe like this, it is just like, okay, how do we need to talk to our kids that when the world is theirs, they don't repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the absolute devastating parts of this, yet unfortunately all too common through history, is that, like, this is not the first time the Jewish people have been under attack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just isn't, you know. I can remember on the trip that Mary and I went and we got engaged at, you know, one of the places that we went was Hitler's summer home in Austria.
Yep.
And I can remember walking those walls, having you know, family members and part of my lineage is of Jewish people that then moved to the United States. But, like, I can remember walking there thinking, man, there were family members who would have been killed had they ever been here. And I'm walking in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was chilling. And so I think it's significant of the things that we need to talk to our kids about. It is significant to say, okay, part of the reason I'm educating you on what happened, or what is happening, I should say, is that you can understand it and not do it. Because when we see people like Hamas, you know, are they all, you know, mentally handicapped people who don't know any better? No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's actually probably many that we would dare say are intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
What there clearly isn't, though, is an understanding of history that, hey, every single time in history, somebody decides to completely dehumanize another person or group of people and kill them. Not only does it not work out for them, for starters, but secondly, it is absolutely the worst thing that can ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
It goes against all forms of humanity. It goes against our very nature as people. And there clearly isn't an understanding of that, because I think the Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but second you understand that, you then don't do it.
Right.
But again, this is significant that we teach our kids these things, because it ought to bring empathy. I mean, if you understand history, you have to have empathy for the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Because time after time after time, they are the ones who are always persecuted. Which, by the way, it, as a minor point, you know, not that I expect anyone of Hamas is listening to our podcast, but I would tell you that's also why they probably won't lose any hope regardless of what you do. Because the Jewish people are extremely resilient.
Yes.
They've been doing this a whole lot longer than anyone else. Not that they should have to.
Mm-hmm.
But we as people have to teach these things. You know, I had a conversation with someone who is one of the leading kind of educational people in Germany. And they noticed in Germany at basically the turn of the century into the early 2000s, that when they stopped teaching about the Holocaust to German kids, those same German kids had a greater propensity for German nationalism, which, if you don't know, was the kind of the basis that Hitler used to do all of the horrific things he did. Mm-hmm. And it immediately changed their minds of, oh no, we have to teach this.
Yep.
Because otherwise they will fall right back into it. You know, I believe it's Aristotle said that the only thing worse than a tyranny is a democracy, because a multiplicity of people will do far worse than just one person would ever do. I bring this to you as parents, not to say let's, you know, obliterate the American government or whatever, mm-hmm. but it is to say this, is that it is our job as parents to make sure our child does not grow up to repeat the same sins that either we or the people before us committed.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't just mean this specific attack. This would be the sins of slavery. This would be the sins of the United States. Like, we must teach this and say, hey, people tried X, Y, and Z, and they're terrible things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do them. Mm-hmm. And if you ever have the propensity to say, I don't like this group of people, you should first of all understand, from a Christian perspective, those people you don't like are made in the image of God. And it's not up to you if you like them or not.
Correct.
Because God loves them so mm-hmm. much that while they were yet still sinners, Christ died for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, by the way, your complete and utter justification of no racism, no hatred, no bigotry towards any group of people made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when I use those terms, by the way, I'm using them as real terms, not as the way they get thrown around. We must teach our kids, because honestly, had the section of Muslim parents, I'm not saying all of Islam's in this, but the section of Muslim parents whose kids grew up to be Hamas people, had they taught them of, hey, this is why something like 9/11 is horrible. This is why we value human life. We wouldn't be in this mess. And I just implore you as parents, make sure that your kid's the one who knows right from wrong, so that then whenever other people's kids become ridiculous, yours can be the one to stand up.
Yep.
But Matt, what are your thoughts on that? And then you can close us out.
Yeah. The thing that comes to my mind is, I mean, it's a hard thing to do, especially when you have younger kids, to talk about these things.
I'm not going to be talking to my two kids about this tonight or anything.
you're not going to sit down and read Good Night Moon and then go, all right, Silas and Eli, so you know what's going on in Israel.
By the way, shout out you for knowing Good Night Moon. That's dope, man.
I loved that book when I was a kid.
That is one of their favorite books. In the Great Green Room, there was a telephone. And a red balloon.
Oh, yes. Gosh, that speaks a lot to how good of friends we are. Anyways, what I want to do, I want to end on 1 Peter 5, starting at verse 6. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares about you. Be sober-minded, alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. To him be dominion forever. Amen. Notice here that if you are to resist the devil, you are going to be standing firm in the faith, not firm in your political beliefs, not firm in your ability to argue and debate, not even your ability to paint a beautiful picture, as we've kind of seen sometimes whenever things like this happen, to where you see these giant murals that are painted or whatever. The way you resist the evil in this world is by standing in Christ. Yep. The way you teach your kids the best way to go about this is through Christ, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. How are we supposed to teach these things? How are we supposed to live this out? It's in Christ. It's nowhere else. And we have to be reminded of this. We have to always move forward knowing that whatever happens, God is the one who's in control. I heard Alistair Begg, when I was listening to one of his sermons, he gave this kind of illustration, and I think it fits very well, and it's the last thing I'll say before we call it quits. But think of it this way. You're at Gordon Ramsay's restaurant and you order the beef Wellington. That is the thing that Gordon Ramsay is known for, is a beef Wellington. And you order it and the waiter brings it out and you sit down and you start to add a lot of salt. And then you realize, I've added too much salt. What does this mean? Does this mean that the chef who made it is wrong? No, it's not. You are the one that got the creation, and you are the one that messed it up. So the only person you can blame is you. And this is how we have to view the world. Is God bad because there is bad in this world? No. When he created it, he said that it was good. What happened then? Sin entered the world, corrupted humanity, and humanity has destroyed creation. Mm-hmm. So what does this mean? This means that God is still good. This means that his intended purpose for creation is good. We, however, are the problem. So then what do? How do we fix this? We turn to Christ. We turn to the one who created all things. We turn to the one who sustains all things. And we turn to the one who will be at the end of all things. So moving forward from this, when you have conversations about this, and when you think about, how am I going to talk about my coworker who put hashtag Free Palestine on his, you know, Twitter bio or whatever, what do? We love them in Christ, because that's what we're supposed to do. And it's the only thing that we can do that's actually going to make a difference.
Yep.
So moving forward, resist the devil, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Because the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little while. To him be dominion forever. Amen. Well, this has been Tuning the Bow. If we talk anymore, we're going to be going on for another 3 hours. So we might as well stop now. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for always tuning in, if you do. And we look forward to seeing y'all in the next episode. Bye, everybody.